This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Monday, and it's going to be a stacked and packed Monday. I should give you a warning right off the bat. There may be some physical difficulties right off the bat with me and my voice. No, my health is fine. Everything's good. I just destroyed some chips and queso before we logged on, and I can feel it. I'm going to get a little chip caught in my throat at some point in time. It's coming. I can't help it. Here's what's on tap for tonight. Of course, it's Medal of Honor Monday. That's coming up an hour from now. Honor a hero. We just had our D-Day celebration show last week. We're going to pay respect to one of those. I'm going to talk about the commie protests from D.C., Lafayette Square this weekend, vandalizing statues, things like that. We're going to dig into that in a lot of depth, why that stuff happens and everything. We're going to open up with that, so just stay with me. The FBI has to be disbanded completely. Defunded, disbanded, and FBI agents have to go to jail. If you didn't believe me when I told you that before, you will after I talk about their latest and worst, I guess it would be, whistleblowers stuff happening in the government. They're still attacking the Supreme Court. I think I have, well, I haven't, but I believe I know why they have this undying hatred of Trump now, which kind of doesn't make sense. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Probably get to some calls next hour. Maybe, maybe not. I'm not sure. Don't call yet. No one's even there. Or if they are, they're not taking your call, because we have a lot to talk about before we ever get into that. Now let's dig into this. Over the weekend, the animals descended on DC, the street animals. This time they put away their Black Lives Matter stuff, and they put away their pink feather boas, and they put away their Subaru Outbacks. And this time they decided they were going to be pro Hamas, you know, kill all the Jews, that kind of stuff. You've probably seen the pictures or videos by now. A mob of 9,000, according to friends I have who were on the ground, so we're not talking a couple people here, 9,000 descend on D.C., surrounding the White House, spray painting things, putting Palestinian flags in people's hands, chasing out the Secret Service and doing other things, acting like the animals that they are. And what I've seen, what you have probably seen, what you have probably heard from the standard, normal people who talk on the right is, this is so hypocritical. Are you telling me that what the January 6th meemaw who sauntered through the Capitol, she's doing 10 years in federal prison, and these animals get away with this stuff? How do they get away with this? Why do they get away with this? This isn't right. Have you said anything like that? Have you heard anything like that the last 24, 48 hours? Maybe on the radio today, television today. The hypocrisy. There are two standards of justice. Have you heard this kind of lameness? Let's dig deeper. Let's talk about the why. First, I want you to picture this. I want you to picture I'm starting a daycare. All right? Jesse's daycare. Shut up, Chris. I wouldn't run it. Someone nicer than me would run it. Anyway, I'm starting a daycare. And at this daycare, it's a daycare for rich people. So we're flush with cash, and we've got all kinds of fun stuff for the kids to play. Now, when we're not teaching them things, alphabet, ABC, or I guess alphabet and ABC is the same thing, you know, some alphabet, some math, some stuff like that. When we're not doing that, we like the kids to have free time. And during this free time, they get to do what they want. The kids have the freedom. Look, we have a little bowling alley set up in there. Hey, you want to go to the bowling alley? Go ahead. Oh, we got laser tag set up for the kiddos. Let's go play some laser tag. Have I ever mentioned how good I am at laser tag? Anyway, we have laser tag set up for the kids. We got an arcade in there. If they want to go out back and play baseball, we get a little mini baseball field set up. Let's get a baseball game together. We got the daycare of daycares. You picturing it right now? And the beauty of it is, during free time, the kid you drop off, they get to do whatever they want. Now, remember, this is my daycare, and we're an exclusive daycare. I don't have any idea what people charge for daycare, but it's a lot, all right? It's exclusive daycare, and me, Jesse, I will determine what kids stay and what kids go. And so for the longest time, let's say we have 20 kids in there. We have the best daycare ever. Everyone wants to get in. There's a waiting list. Everyone wants their kid to experience the beauty of the free bowling alley and the baseball laser tag. Wow, Aiden, Jaden, and Braden will love that. And then eventually, because we are selling freedom, your child has freedom, freedom to do as he or she pleases. Because we're selling freedom, eventually the wrong kid gets in. I don't know, picture the wrong kid. Guy you had a problem with in high school, whoever it may be. The wrong kid gets in. And so we have class, and then boom, it's free time. You look over and the wrong kid, we'll call him Chris. Chris has beaten one kid with the bowling ball. Oh my gosh, stop, Chris. What are you doing, you idiot? Then we turn our backs again, and Chris went out back to play baseball, and now all the kids are trying to hide under the bleachers because Chris is chucking baseballs at them. Then it's laser tag time, and instead of playing laser tag, Chris just decides it would be funny to start stuffing gum and all the guns and things like that. Chris is there to destroy, to hurt things. Now, let me ask you something. Can I maintain my exclusive, wonderful, free daycare for all the Aiden, Jadens, and Bradens who want that daycare? Can I maintain it while also allowing Chris to roam free? Or does Chris have to go? Chris has to go. You see, there is a problem with our mentality on the right, and this is going to come back to all this vandalism and street activism and things like that. And we're going to dig into this in more depth as we have before to just help everyone understand it. But we have a huge problem on the right, and I have had this problem in the past. I'm pointing fingers at me. Maybe you have it now, where we picture freedom, living in a free country. We picture it as being hands off. After all, isn't that what freedom really kind of basically means? It's hands off. Live and let live. You get to do what you want. You live how you want it. I live how I want it. We're free because we live in a free country and we can't stop it. That's how we look at these things. But here is the truth. The truth is that that way of thinking is naive. As soon as an element is introduced into a free society that is hostile to the free society, well, freedom must become aggressive, active, offensive. Little child Chris hitting people with the bowling ball. We got to have him sit in the corner and mom's going to come get him and he's never allowed back in here again. Because if he stays, freedom leaves. If he goes, we can maintain it. Freedom is something that must be maintained through aggressive action as soon as hostile forces are introduced to it. There is no live and let live way of maintaining freedom. You must be aggressive with maintaining freedom, and that has been a huge part of our problem on the right. There is no hands-off approach. Now, we're going to dig into how these people get away with these things, why they get away with these things, and we're going to dig into, in a bit more depth, how these things work. What's the power behind it? We're going to do that in a moment, and I will tell you, there's going to be good news on the back end about all this stuff. Yeah, it's going to get heavy and dark when we dig into this, but there's going to be good news because all is not lost, all right? Now, maybe you're thinking, dang, This is going to be a freaking heavy show
tonight.
It is
as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
And it might be 10 boxes heavy tonight. It could be, oh, man, it might be 15 boxes. I don't know. I don't know how heavy it's going to get. But I do know this. If you haven't been taking your chalk, maybe you're not ready for it. Listen, you take chalk so you can feel better, so your mind will be sharper. Whatever you take from chalk, maybe you just take the chalk lit powder every morning, pour it in a smoothie. If that's all you can afford or that's all you want to do, get some chalk lit powder in your life. Start your day out with some chalk lit powder in a smoothie or a glass of milk and tell me how you feel. Maybe you take a male vitality stack. That's what I take. Maybe you take a female vitality stack. But you need natural herbal supplements flowing through your veins, baby. You want to carry 10 boxes?
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
And you need chalk. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse gets you a huge discount on subscriptions. Let's carry some boxes together. Get some chalk. Chalk for the boxes. See, I almost rhymed that. Anyway, chalk.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, Medal of Honor Monday. That's coming up 45 minutes from now. Also, if you miss me or want to talk to me, I guess we're not going to talk per se. Either way, if you email the show, we'll read it. Someone will. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Jewish producer Chris gives me, I would say, most emails. Chris, it used to be all. Everyone, we used to say we read everyone. What percentage would you say now? I don't want to, don't undersell it. Just be honest. Be honest. A quarter now? Okay, well, I'm not talking about the junk mail and the ads. 70, 50, 75%? Okay, let me just explain something probably. There are a couple things that you can email and Chris will browse it for half a second before he deletes it, but I'll never see it. If it's too long, I'm not reading it. All right, I'm just not. Make it fast. It's like the phone calls whenever we take it. Make it fast. If it's too long, I'm not going to read it. If it's some kind of complaint about, I don't like when you read ads, I'm not going to read it. I don't care. He knows he just deletes it. It doesn't mean anything to me at all. That's how the show stays on the air. You don't like it, tough crap. Other than that, you know, hatred and cussing and stuff like that, all that gets through. You can send that, whatever. Yeah, be creative with it. Let's get back to what we were talking about. All right. Freedom must be aggressively maintained. Over the weekend, a bunch of protesters vandalized all kinds of property. It got so bad, they chased the Secret Service out of the park. They chased the police out of the park. It was really ugly out there. Now, let's explain what we're dealing with. It's going to get ugly. There's a lot to it. We've done this before. We're going to do it again. At the end of it, there is good news. So you just stay with me. It's going to take me a little bit. Why do they do this? How do they get away with this? Okay, first, understand that these people have been building a protection network for themselves for decades. This did not happen overnight. This has been a process. As we always say, saving the country is not an event, it's a process. It's the same thing with destroying a country. The communist has understood that for decades. Destroying the country is a process. So what is part of that process? Well, protection is so critical. You, me, I'll make it about me. I have probably naively lofty views of America. I love America. And I've been to other parts of the world, and every time I go somewhere else, even nice places. We went to Paris once, and I missed America. I like it here. I like the people. I like the food. I like the foundation of this country and the freedom. I have lofty ideals of America. And so people like me, maybe this is you, will struggle with what I'm about to say, but it is true. Yes, America is wonderful. And yes, it's provided a great set of opportunities for you. And hopefully it provides it for your kids. It did for your parents. And hopefully, all that stuff is true. But some things don't change. In any society, you are either the strong one or you better find a strong one who can protect you. The animals get away with things like Black Lives Matter protests and the degenerate pride crap and this kind of, you know, Hamas, pro-Hamas stuff where they're vandalizing things. They get away with this because they understood they needed protection, and so they sought out that protection. I've got sorry to get sidetracked on you again here, but you ever, actually I'm not sorry at all. You ever study or know any, or read anything about the Soviet Union after communism, in between communism and Putin? I've got a fascinating book for you to read, or an audio book. We talked about it a long time ago on the show. It's called Once Upon a Time in Russia. And what happened was the Soviet Union collapsed, okay, the end of the Soviet Union. And in between that time, they were trying to figure out, how do we transition into a free market? We don't even really understand freedom now. I mean, it was a hard concept. And it essentially turned into a gangster country. And in one of the, I haven't read it in ages, but one of the chapters, this business guy was simply talking about how if you were a businessman, not a criminal, a businessman, you're the CEO of Coca-Cola. In Russia at that time, that wasn't enough to keep you safe because it had turned into essentially a country that was run by crime. You had to find high ups in the government, preferably in the state police or somewhere, who had your back. It was, I forget the term he used for it, but it was understood that everyone needed one. If you were just the CEO of Coke, you were either going to get extorted or killed by someone who had the protection network. You see, if I'm CEO of Coke in America, I can just be CEO of Coke in America. If I'm CEO of Coke, I'm just using Coke as an example. They weren't even in the book. If I'm CEO of Coke in Russia at that time, it's not enough to be CEO. I have to seek out, well, this guy's the chief of this police agency. I definitely need to find a way to bribe him with some money because I'm going to need him on my side when someone tries to assassinate me. This guy does that. It was just the way business was done. It wasn't even abnormal. It was, oh, yeah, nice. You're Jesse? Cool. Who protects you? Who guards you? The communists understood. They really got a full dose of this when they started their street activism back in the 20th century, mid-20th century is when they were starting to ramp it up. Whenever they would do their street activism, you know, that stuff had happened for a while, or they'd tried to do it for a while. They were getting nowhere in this country. Why? Because back then, Americans understood freedom had to be aggressively maintained. So if you brought some mob down to Washington, D.C. and tried to vandalize something, you'd all just be arrested and you'd be charged with felonies and no one would see you again for 5 to 10 years. And so the communists couldn't find people to even participate in their things. Who wants to go to prison for 5 years? Even $5,000, $10,000 ain't worth that. I'm not going. They knew they had to change that. And so they started working on changing that. And there are a few different aspects to this we're about to go over. The street animals, the money, that's an important part of this, the legal system, maybe the most important part of this, and the politicians, specifically Democrat politicians. The communists found the Democrat Party to be the appropriate vassal for their wants and needs in the country. Let's cover all this next.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, a Medal of Honor Monday. That's a half hour from now. We're digging into some of this street activism because the dirty commies were in D.C. over the weekend vandalizing signs and such. Okay, so I told you we were going to go over a few different aspects of this. In fact, four different aspects to it. The street side, the money side, the legal side, and the political side. The political side will be last because, believe it or not, that's probably the least important side. The street animals. Who are these people? Well, this part is important to understand. It really genuinely is important to understand. There's going to be good news at the end of all this, and I'm going to sprinkle in a little throughout. You know that there aren't nearly as many of these street animals as the news would have you believe. And there aren't near as many as right wing, left wing, whatever kind of media you consume, there's not near as much as they would have you believe. numbers-wise, there aren't that many of these people. Now we have to dwell on this for a moment because we don't want to be the loser GOP guy who says we're the silent majority, because silent majority means nothing. The fact that you're silent means nothing. They are loud. Who are they, though? Okay, first, let's set aside the true believers. There are some true believers in that crowd. There were 9,000 of them. They dropped their pink feather boas from last week and picked up their Hamas stuff for this week. And there are 9,000 of them. So are there people in that crowd who just love Hamas or love Palestine or hate Israel or hate Jews or whatever? Yes, of course they are. And actually, I'm most sympathetic to those people. At least they believe in something. Yeah, they're insane, but at least they believe in something, right? So, but let's set them aside. If there are 9,000, let's be nice. And believe me, I'm being very, very generous here. Let's say 1,000 of them are actual true believers. They wake up every single morning, I hate Chris, that kind of a thing. So we'll just set those people aside for a moment. So many of these people are bored college kids, almost always spoiled rich kids. This is something I've learned. I never realized this fully until the Black Lives Matter protests began. St. George Floyd dies. You remember all that. They're burning down cities from New York to LA and everything in between. But if you actually looked at the video footage, it wasn't exactly what you'd think. In fact, you would think, especially if there's a big Black Lives Matter protest in Memphis, you would think that's going to be all black, right? Surely that's going to be angry black people. Maybe you disagree with them, but it's going to be angry black people rising up. Oh, I hate the cops. But every single video I would see, it didn't look like that. And so I started talking to friends of mine who were doing the street reporter stuff on the ground, saying, who are these people? Who are these people? Who are these people? And to a man, to a woman. I can't believe how many women go brave these things. Anyway, to a man, to a woman, they told me, Jesse, you'd be shocked at how many of these are just bored, rich college kids looking for something to do on the weekends. And if you're older, if you're my age, you know, I'm 42, or maybe you're 62 or 82, that may sound crazy to you, and it sounds crazy to me. If I have to go somewhere nice for work, I don't want to go. I was just talking to Chris and Michael about that. There's this big fancy work trip I have to do for the suits coming up. Don't worry, it's next year. Don't worry about that. This big fancy work trip I have to take with the suits, and they'll be nice. It'll be, you know, I'll fly first class. It'll be steak dinners. I'm already dreading it. I don't want to go at all. Why? It's not because I don't like the suits and I don't like where I'm going. I just want to be in my house. And I'm certainly not going to get up and do something, but you forget what it was like to be young. One time when I was young, we were in the Marines at the time, and we were all under the age of, I think it was 26. Don't quote me on that age, but we were all under, comfortably under the cutoff age to rent a car. At that time, maybe it's still this time now, you couldn't rent a car at that age. And I want to emphasize that this was the middle of the summer. The middle of the summer. We were in 29 Palms, California, the middle of the summer. 115, 110, not at all unheard of. Well, there was no cutoff age to rent a U-Haul. We got the genius idea. No, it was not my idea. Because we just wanted to do something to rent a U-Haul, throw whoever wasn't driving in the back of it with water in sleeping bags, and drive to Lake Havasu, Arizona to go chase women around, which is also in the middle of the friggin' desert. It's hot as can be. And we did it. Guys are almost having heat stroke in the back. That is so stupid. Why would you do something like that? There's something to do. We didn't want to stay on base. We wanted to go do stupid things. Young people will do things just to do something, just for a taste of adventure or to break the boredom or stuff like that. By the time you're my age, you stop doing that crap. But when you're young, you do it. That takes the form of left-wing protests a lot. Remember the audio we played? Chris, you can grab it if you have it. If not, don't stress it at all. We played some audio from a few weeks back of a couple girls. I believe this was in New York City. I think it was at Columbia or NYU. They interviewed a couple of these girls, a couple of young white girls, just normal-looking girls. Why are you out here? Why are you out here? What are you doing out here? And one had no idea, and she... Did you find it already, Chris? Oh, well, here it was.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing? About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either.
All right, Chris, that's enough. I don't know. Why are we doing here? What did Israel do? Sarah, what are we doing here? And her friend doesn't have any idea either. I don't know. I wish I was more educated. So what are they doing there? They're bored. Okay, so let's set those aside. We'll set aside the true believers, and let's set aside those who are still bored. Let's focus on the people who actually matter. The ringleaders, the organizers. There were two major left-wing organizations responsible for getting 9,000 people into Washington, D.C. this weekend. I'm not going to go over the names because the details ruin it all. I was talking to Julio Rosas. He's a great street reporter I know about this. He was covering it all. If you want more information on like nerdy details, you can watch my TV show on it tonight. I covered all that. We don't need that for now. But there were two big left-wing organizations, two big communist organizations involved. And they had been advertising this event for a long time. They have employees at these organizations. These people are super active on social media, in social media sites that you never go to if you're of a certain age, and I never go to. I was talking to Chris and Michael about this stuff the other day. There are all kinds of websites out there like Reddit. I don't know that I've ever logged into Reddit. Apparently Reddit is huge, and people organize things on Reddit. Either way, there is an online organization network now that the communists have taken full advantage of, and they will plan ahead and organize. And it gets more in depth. Leading up to a big event like this, where they know they're going to have all kinds of people out there, they select the venue carefully to make sure they're in a protected area. We'll go over that. And they also have to make plans for getting arrested. Getting arrested is expensive and it's inconvenient. So when you're organizing people, what do you tell that college kid who's interested but says, I don't want to go to jail. My dad will be mad. Let's talk about that because that'll lead us to the money. Next.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, 10 minutes away from Medal of Honor Monday. Gosh, Bob Seger was the bomb. Is he still alive, Chris? I think he is still alive. If he's still alive, I got to go to a Seger concert before he dies. Everyone's dying now. Anyway, back to what we were talking about. We're talking about how do they get away with these things? Okay, so the street animals. Chris, do you have that piece up I gave you from that bit of audio? I was talking to Gabby Cuccia. She's another one of these street reporters who goes out in the middle of these protests. Why would all these people vandalize things? Why would they do this stuff? Well, I want you to listen to this little tidbit she picked up. She was at a protest in Portland, I believe. Listen to this.
Everyone started flooding all of the perimeter, everyone popping out of their tents, making sure that they have numbers written on their forearm. I'll tell you, since I spent so much time there, these numbers that were written on the forearm, I'd spent the time with them. They didn't know I was part of Drano Media. They befriended me. They asked me, oh, do you have the Northwest Community Bail Fund number? And I was, excuse me, do you have the number? If you get any escalated law enforcement that you have interaction with, bail will be set at $1,000, of which you will only have to pay 10% of that, which means I only have to pay $100 of a get out of free jail card from the Northwest Community Bail Fund.
The Northwest Community Bail Fund. I won't play the whole thing for you here. She goes on to describe, she actually called the number, goes to some answering service where you leave your information, and then your bail is taken care of for you. And that leads me to this. We're moving away from the streets. Let's move on to the elites, to this portion of it. Headline. This is from the Daily Wire. Leftist billionaire vowed to, quote, reimagine capitalism. Then he colonized a federal agency. The guy's name, I don't even know how to say his last name. His name is Pierre. I know he's French. Pierre Omidyar or something along those lines. I don't know. I went to community college and I can't say words, but he's a French-born billionaire. Just think of him like George Soros. He's the French version of George Soros. What happens is these oftentimes foreign billionaires, not at all always, but oftentimes foreign-born billionaires will pour billions and billions of dollars into various American political efforts. Oftentimes, they take the form of, quote, nonprofits or charities, 501c3s and things like that. And then that 501c3, you know, the Pierre Fund. I'm just making that up. I don't even know if he has one of those specifically. The Pierre Fund. The Pierre Fund will then fund other funds. The Pierre Fund funds this fund, and it funds that fund, and it funds that fund. And eventually, if you dig deep enough, if you can get through all the legal records, and most people cannot, if you dig deep enough, you will find this fund leading to that fund, leading to that fund, will eventually lead you to the Northwest Bail Fund, where the street animals know if they happen to be arrested, if they have to go to jail, which is rare, but if that happens, you don't have to stress it because there is a rich guy, American, French, or otherwise, waiting there to cut a check to spring you from jail. And again, I'm going to sprinkle in a little good piece, a little good preview of what's coming at the end. Again, I want to stress, there aren't that many of these rich guys who do this stuff. There's more than one. We all know the name George Soros, so that's the name I usually throw out there. But there are a bunch of George Soroses, but not that many at all. There are foreign and American billionaires who have dedicated their lives to destroying the United States of America. And they don't do it with smart bombs. They did it smarter than that. Did you see that? What, Chris? That was, whatever. I think that was good. Anyway, they did it smarter than that. They did it. The billionaire types approached the destruction of America in the same way they approached the business world, the same way they handle the business world today. You ever talk to a super rich guy? I'll be honest, I don't know. I don't think I know more than one or two billionaires, maybe one. And I think I've spent a little time with him once. He's not even a friend. You know, billionaires don't grow on trees. I don't know a lot of them. But I know some guys, especially now, who are high up in that business world. Have you ever dug into how they handle their businesses and their finances? There are separate businesses, separate LLCs, separate this, separate that. We've taken this and we've separated that from here. It was just Jesse Kelly Burgers, but we've realized that kind of put us in a bind with the taxes in this particular state. So in this state, we started Jesse Kelly Burger LLC. That handles the procurement of the burgers and it helps us avoid some regulations. But that wasn't enough. We wanted to expand into the Caribbean and New York City. So we started a different Jesse Kelly Burger Inc. And that it's complicated. It's a company after a shell company after a shell company. That is how so many rich guys, foreign and domestic, have approached the destruction of America, just like it's one of their businesses. A separate thing here, which leads to this, which feeds to this, which leads to that. That is why so much of what you see, you must understand, before we get to the legal and political side of this, you must understand so much of what you see is organized and funded, not by dirty street communists, by guys in $1,000 suits on private jets, funding the destruction of the United States of America. I want to let you know this article from Daily Wire. I'm not part of Daily Wire, I should note. It's a great article. Luke Rosiak, I've interviewed him a few times. He's a great investigative reporter. If you want, if you're a detail person and you want one of these examples in more depth than I'll give you on the radio, go read this article, not for the specifics of it. It is fascinating, the Federal Trade Commission, how he got involved, how he used political money to buy influence and get involved. But the point of the article, why I would want you to read it if that interests you, is it shows you how these people operate. It shows you how they think. And remember, that's much more important than any one individual story. It's more important than any one protest or legal story or scandal or election. Figuring out how these people operate, how they think, what they do, why they do what they do, that is so much more important than the individual minutiae of every single day. It's a fascinating article titled, "A Leftist Billionaire Vowed to Reimagine Capitalism, Then He Colonized the Federal Agency." I know that's a long title, a little too long for my taste, but shut up, Chris. It's way too long for my taste, but go read it. It'll show you in a way how these people do these things, okay? Now, let's set that aside for just a moment. Well, remember, pallets of bricks didn't magically fall from the sky into American cities when the George Floyd protests were ramping up. A pallet of bricks is expensive. Organizing delivery is expensive, complicated. It doesn't just appear on the street corner. Someone paid for it. Someone with an organization. Much of what you see is paid for. All right, we're going to pause on this because that's the streets. That's the money. We'll move to the legal side of this and the political side of this after Medal of Honor Monday, because it's Monday and we got to pause all this political stuff and talk about that. We'll get to some calls and things like that next hour. I'm on a roll here. I got some other things I want to talk about before we do that. I realize that this stuff can be stressful and maybe you have a hard time sleeping at night. Look, I can't take away the stress of the day, but I can give you a great night's sleep. MyPillow. How much MyPillow stuff do you have on your bed? You know, studies have shown, there aren't any studies that showed this, but studies have shown that the night's sleep you have is directly proportional to how much MyPillow stuff you have in your bed. And I just made that study up, but I bet it's true. Right now, MyPillow has a $25 extravaganza sale. You can be dripping in MyPillow like a rock star. MyPillow sandals and pillows and towel sets and everything else. Take advantage, baby! MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square and use the promo code Jesse, or you can call them 800-845-0544. Take advantage. $25, all right? Medal of Honor Monday time. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.